Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaming Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaming Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Gaiman's on this beautiful spring morning, or maybe late fall. I will be reading about Hannah's prayer life. Please rise for the reading of God's Word. 1 Samuel 1 and part of chapter 2. And she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and had said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." Verse 26, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Amen. Be seated. Turn with me to page 50 in the Mennonite hymnal. Number 50.
Good morning. Would the ushers come forward? The first verse of one of the songs we're going to sing this morning is, "Praise to the Father, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To Him we will sing." I thought that was a pretty good line. Let's pray for the offering. Dearly Father, we'd like to acknowledge You this morning of Your greatness and to worship You, knowing that You will walk with us through these days and the days of darkness. We just thank You that You are the light and the hope that we can see. I also pray that You bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You can close. Please pray with me. And God, through your Spirit, help us to listen to you. Amen. How's your hearing? You have some of these? We all choose what we listen to, what we will focus on, and how we're going to respond to what we hear. And I think that connects with some of what we'll read about in the account of the birth of Samuel. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're kind of looking at three chapters here, the first three chapters. I'll try to skip some and read some, but verse 3. There's a man, Elkanah, and he had two wives. And verse 3, year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah, that's the father here, when it came for him to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penaniah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Skipping down to 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple, and in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Hannah pours out her heart here before the Lord. She was in trouble. She's struggling. She's dealing with this other wife who provoked her. And she pours out her heart to God, honestly. We also see that she makes a vow. And I didn't spend a lot of time on this, but the question came up in my mind. Should we be making vows to God? Is that something to encourage or not? Just want to read another verse related to that. In Deuteronomy 23, 21 says, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord with your own mouth." I think and other scriptures would talk about making a vow to God. Most of them seem to refer to, if you make a vow, fulfill it. Do what you say you're going to do. Jesus speaks in Matthew about not taking oaths. And I think that there may be there's a difference there. In today's world, we maybe only think of the vow, or that word comes when we speak of marriage vows. It's something that we should take very seriously, what we're promising to God. And that was Hannah's approach. She took it seriously, and we'll see that she fulfills it. Verse 12, she kept praying to the Lord. This is actually what was read at her opening. Maybe I'll skim over this. She prays, pours out her heart to God. Her lips are moving. And Eli thinks that she's drunk. He's the priest there. He sees her and thinks that she's drunk. He kind of rebukes her. And she's honest with him, said, "You know, it's not, no, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my heart to God." You know, sometimes we can get false impressions of people, right? We all see other people and we see things that they're doing, and we make assumptions sometimes. And sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we're flat out wrong. And Eli was wrong. And it got cleared up. How? By open, honest sharing. Hannah was honest and shared the situation, and Eli acknowledged it. You know, bless you, go in peace. He recognized that he was wrong. Sometimes other people are going to make wrong assumptions of you and your actions. Clear it up with honest sharing. Sometimes you're going to make wrong, faulty assumptions of other people. We need to find a way to share honestly with one another. In partway through 19, the Lord remembered Hannah, and so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." God heard her prayer, her honest pouring out of her heart. He heard her. He was listening. He responded. And Hannah responds by naming him Samuel, which in the bottom of my Bible says Hebrew for heard of God. So again, we see an account when someone used a name as kind of a remembrance of what God did. Every time she said his name Samuel, it was a reminder that God heard her prayer. Verse 21, when the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. This is just a kind of a small thing, but and noted that Elkanah, the husband, he was faithful in observing these sacrifices, and it says, and to fulfill his vow. So he must have made some kind of vow to God as well, that he was fulfilling. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. I noted that Elkanah gives his wife some freedom here in how she follows God. Basically, she's saying, I don't want to go to church. And he says, okay, do what seems best to you. Only may the Lord make good His word. And the note in my Bible says, or your word. So I'm not sure if he was encouraging her to fulfill her word, or I think in the New King James it says establish God's word or something like that. So whether it was an encouragement to Hannah to fulfill her vow, or it was just a statement of may God's will be done here, I think the husband was encouraging his wife, you do what seems best, but may God's will be done in this situation. Verse 27. So now she's fulfilling her vow. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So Hannah follows through and she fulfills her vow. In chapter 2 we have Hannah's prayer. And it's interesting to me that some of the first words out of her mouth in this prayer are, my heart rejoices in the Lord. She had just given up her firstborn child. She had taken him to the tabernacle to be a minister to the Lord. And she wasn't going to see him regularly again. She could have been sad. She could have been, oh, I've made this amazing sacrifice. I wish I wouldn't have vowed that. No, that's not her approach. She's rejoicing in God. She's delighting in His deliverance. She says, there is no rock like our God. I'm going to read part of her prayer, verses 6 to 8. She talks about God's, how He's the one who raises people up and brings them down. Verse 6 of chapter 2. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and He exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sets them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. She's thanking God. She's praising Him. She's experiencing joy, even though she gave up something very significant. Skip to verse 12. We start reading about Eli's sons. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. These were two men who were serving the Lord. They were leaders in the church, and yet they were wicked. They were far from God. It's like they were so close, but yet so far. You know, we are here in church. We're the church-going people. We call ourselves Christians. I think we're in danger of being like Eli's sons. We are so close. Let us not be so far. Partway through 16, this is how they were treating the offering. The offerings that were coming to the Lord, people would bring sacrifices, meat to be offered to God. And they had the servant tell them, you know, we get the choice. We stick our fork in that meat, and whatever comes out, that's us and for us. And that wasn't how it was supposed to be. Partway through verse 16, their servant responded to people who didn't want to go along with this. No, hand it over now, or if you don't, we'll take it by force. This sin of the young man was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman and to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. And they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. It made me think of a verse I think I discovered when I was a camp counselor in Vermont one morning when I was reading in Mark 10:29. Says this, "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." I think Hannah was experiencing that being lived out in her life. She had given something up for God, and she received back much more. I don't think you can ever outgive the Lord, right? I don't think we can ever outgive what God has given us. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli was very old. He had heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. We see the Eli attempting to rebuke his sons, and they don't respond to that. Eli seems, in his rebuke of this, I noted that he mentioned several times about what he hears. What he hears from the people, the report that he hears, and how it's not a good report. And I'm wondering if, and God speaks even more specifically about his judgment on Eli, but part of Eli's attitude seems to be a concern for the reputation of the family and this report, not actually what's happening and what's going on. And we'll see that Eli is actually participating somewhat in this. Who are we listening to? So Hannah heard some voices from this other wife who was provoking her. That was a voice she was hearing, choosing whether how much she would listen to that. Eli's hearing reports of his sons. He's listening to the people. His sons are hearing this rebuke from their father, and they aren't listening. Who are we listening to? There's an unnamed prophet who comes and prophesies against Eli and says, basically, you know, God is angry with you, Eli. You're allowing this to go on. And in verse 29, it says, "Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering?" He's speaking to Eli, not the sons. He's speaking to Eli. "Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me?" Why do you honor your sons more than me? "By fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made to my people Israel." So it seems like Eli was participating in this as well. This not going about the offering process in the way they were supposed to, but fattening themselves on the choice portions of what was being offered to God. Verse 31, the time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your family line, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Verse 34, and what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to you. They will both die on the same day. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. That's our first description of this faithful priest, someone who would listen to God's heart and God's mind. Chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, I didn't call you, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down again. This happens a second time. God calls, Samuel thinks it's Eli, goes to him, said, "It wasn't me, go and lie down." Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It happens a third time. God says, "Samuel, here I am," he says, goes to Eli, and Eli finally recognizes that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Sometimes maybe in our lives, God isn't speaking because we aren't ready to listen. Verse 11, and the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever." Here he's even a little more specific. "Because of the sin he knew about, his sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. He let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. If we look over this first account of Samuel's life and Hannah and Elkanah and Eli and his sons, you can make an interesting contrast between the parenting of Eli and the parenting of Hannah. How do we, as parents, those of us who are parents, how do we dedicate our children to the Lord? Or as grandparents, or those of us who have influence on younger people, how do we dedicate our children to the Lord? Is it by bringing them here to church and having them live here? I don't think so. There's not a lot of food here except on the first Sundays. Then you'd be okay. Is it by not cutting their hair? Most of us have done that already, so we missed that one. By praying for them? Hannah was an example of that. By loving them? By teaching them in word and action. Even though Hannah and Elkanah didn't have a lot of interaction with Samuel, we saw that little bit about how she made a robe for him yearly when they went. She continued to express love, and they were faithful in their following God, in their faith. Samuel saw that each year, that they did that. They honored God. They were an example in their word and deed. They made purposeful time. They were purposeful in their time with Samuel. I think those are some of the ways we dedicate our children to the Lord. Each of these people in this account had some kind of a relationship with God. And each of us have some kind of relationship with God. And I'd invite you to evaluate yourself this morning. To ask what voices you are listening to. Where are you at in your relationship with God? Are you like Hannah? Are you struggling with the pain of your current experience? What's going on in your life? Struggling with the judgment and provoking that you're hearing from other people? Are you being honest and pouring out your heart to God? Even to the point of making a vow to God and then faithfully fulfilling that. And then when God responds to you, responding with praise and thanksgiving and experiencing even more blessing as you've sacrificed something in your life and God has poured back many times over. Are you like Eli's sons, being so close, knowing about God, but really being so far from Him, not listening to rebuke, not listening to God's Word, and ignoring what He's said to you already? Are you like Eli, who also was struggling? Eli seems to be kind of wanting a foot in each world. He was ministering before God. He seems to be appropriate in how he's training Samuel. He tries to warn his sons, but maybe perhaps he's more concerned about the report and what's being talked about than what is actually happening. He fails to restrain them. He's described as honoring his sons above God. And in fact, he himself is participating in the sin of fattening yourselves on the Lord's offerings? Or are you like Samuel? Have you dedicated yourself to God? Maybe you haven't come to know the Lord yet personally, but He's calling to you and you would like to listen. He wants you to know Him through His Word. He wants to bless you and recognize you. And He wants you to respond in accordance with what is in his heart and mind. I'm going to ask Darlene to come and just play softly for a moment as we just spend a moment or two, a minute or two in silence. And I'd invite you to listen to the Lord. Like you heard Hannah. I pray that we would be called to take some time to listen to you. Our lives are so busy and full and loud. God, may we take 5 minutes to just be quiet before you today. Listen to what you are saying to us. God, if you would evaluate us as being so close and yet so far, God, help us not to reject your words to us, but to respond to them. God, I don't want to end up like Eli's sons. I don't want to end up like Eli. I want to be like Samuel, hearing your heart and your mind. I want to be like Hannah, experiencing the ability to thank and praise you for how you have delivered. Thank you, God. Help us to listen. Amen.
Turn to page number 358 in the Mennonite hymnal. When we hear God's call and we listen, this is a great song to remind us that He wants all of us. He wants our life, our hands, our voice and our finances, our will and our love. He wants our time, our feet, our lips, our intellect and our heart. And in case He forgot anything, He wants ourselves. He wants us all. 358.
Thank you.
Thank you for leading us in that very appropriate song and for your words, Randy. What would you like to share with the group? You can raise your hand and we'll bring a mic around.
Hello, this is David Langle. I'd like to pray for my brother-in-law's family and extended family. My brother-in-law, Roy Brenner, and his wife, Marilyn, flew out to Colorado. Roy's brother-in-law has cancer. On their way to visit him, they were in a terrible accident. They are both in intensive care. We're not sure how they're going to make out, but just pray for the entire family.
Hi, this is Loretta Gockley, and as many of you know, the East Calico Ministerium hosts community meals at in Denver at the United Methodist Church, or Trinity Methodist, I don't know what it's called, the White Church in Denver on Main Street.
Yep.
And January is Gaiman's month to host the meal. So on January 28th, we will be hosting the meal at the church in Denver. There are sign-up sheets in the back for food donations as well as for people to help with that. It isn't a huge time commitment, and it's a lot of fun.
Thank you. This is Daryl. We're going to have a sweetheart banquet at church again this year. It's on February 6th, and I will put a sign-up sheet in the back that you can sign up for you and your sweetheart, and also if you have friends, you're welcome to invite them as well.
This is Darlene. Just a reminder to continue to pray for Sandy Johnson. She is experiencing a really difficult time right now and has a problem with her pancreas, which hasn't been determined yet whether it is cancerous or not, but she's having struggles in many ways. So thanks for your prayers for her.
This is Darla. I just got a text message from Tony asking me to make an announcement that on Wednesday is their 15th wedding anniversary. And also, Ruthie and I had taken Addison to the hospital this week again. Her breathing wasn't really good. And so she's still struggling. She is at home, but she's not so sick. So pray for them.
And he also said that Winston had another seizure. So we could pray for them.
This is Kelly Horning. I just wanted to draw your attention to a paper on the table in the narthex for a driving schedule to help out Cheryl Fisher. She's done with chemotherapy but is going to radiation on a daily basis in Ephrata, and be great to have some different drivers and companionship for her. Thanks.
Like that. This is Lillian. My brother Sam has been diagnosed with cancer of the bladder. They are waiting now for results of a CAT scan, and then I guess they'll take it from there as to what treatment or anything he might receive. But I know they would appreciate our prayers.
I think I caught that. That was your brother Sam has cancer. Yes, we'll be praying for him.
This is Cheryl Fisher. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate what you do for me with the meals and take me to my appointments. And I also want to thank the people that sent me a birthday card and gifts. Thank you so much.
This is Cindy. Just a reminder that today is the Secret Sister Tea. All ladies are invited. And Mary Gaiman said that she is sharing some thoughts about sisters that I've met along the way in the U.S. or abroad. So even if you can't make it for the meal, you can come hear her. She's speaking right away at 4, or you can come for the whole time. All food signed up, so just come.
So any ladies are welcome.
I wanted to thank you, Phil, for the soul-searching message this morning. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Please stand and we'll pray together. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to share together. I pray that, Lord, we need to find ways to do that honestly and openly, just like Hannah did. As we grow, sometimes that's a challenge, and we want to... It's difficult sometimes to be vulnerable and to share honestly. I pray that you would give us grace with one another. And God, we bring these things before you. We pray for... Sandy Johnson, we pray for her health, God. We thank you for the opportunity for to help serve a community meal. We ask for your blessing on that. We pray for Dave's brother-in-law and their entire family with this bad accident. We celebrate with Tony and Ruthie on their anniversary, and we ask for your help and healing with Addison and Winston. Pray for Lillian's brother Sam, who has cancer. We pray for Cheryl Fisher that you continue to bless and bring healing in her life, provision. It wasn't shared audibly here, Lord, but I'm aware of Dan Frederick. We pray for his liver and the health issues he's dealing with. Pray for Michelle Fry's student, Cameron, and her needs. Pray for the Bible quizzing program as that's begun again, and ask for your blessing on that and each of the young people as they read and memorize your word. God, help us to be people who listen to you and to respond in faith, to be willing to take moments even 5 minutes today to sit quietly and to listen to you. Thank you, God. Go with us as we part. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go in peace.